Thanks a lot. Wow, what a morning. I mean, where's Paul? That was amazing, Paul. Absolutely amazing. And you said nearly everything I'm going to say. And even words to the songs had scriptures that I'm going to be referring to. And that was only based on, what, a five-minute conversation with the headlines. So that was brilliant. So I think we speak with one voice. It was so good. Amazing. Right, now, I'm speaking about something I feel passionate about this morning. And I'm going to start with a question. Do you really know the days that we're living in? Do you really know the days that we're living in? What would you answer to that? What days are we living in? End times, last days? Nowadays? Revival, favour, fantastic. Well, all of those. I'm glad we got no depressing answers like, oh, the world's in a dreadful state, you know. But I think after Paul singing and talking about different things the Lord wants to do, you know, how dare we say anything like that? So that's great for all those really positive answers. Now, a few months ago, we had a visit of the Bethel students. You know, the students, two of them came here. And they were with us at the Windsor Hall most of the week for different meetings. We had an amazing Monday evening meeting, which was wild over there. And then on the Tuesday morning with the students, they were very good as well. And, you know, the Holy Spirit just came. And the Lord spoke to me this scripture. I stood at the front just looking at what God was doing. And this is what the Lord said to me. It's Luke chapter 10 and verse 23. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see but didn't see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. And I thought, wow, what a privilege, what days we are living in. Now, Jesus, in the context of that, was talking to 72 disciples that had just come back from doing amazing works. You know, they'd seen people healed and seen miracles happen. And he said, don't you know the days that you're living in? And that was a real wake-up call to me. I thought, my goodness, we are living in amazing days. We really, really are. Now, I believe that's what Jesus would say to us. Many prophets and kings throughout history would love to see what you're seeing. Now, you know, you can say, well, we're not seeing much here. You know, you hope we wouldn't say that, but, you know, it does cross our minds every now and then. But, you know, round the world, there are amazing things happening. I mean, they are here. I lived in Uganda for 3 years. And in Kampala, the Kampala Pentecostal Church, 6 meetings a day with thousands going in, going out, coming in, coming out. The Miracle Center in Uganda, 40,000 people. By the way, that's led by Robert Kyanja, whose brother is the Archbishop of York, John Sentamu. And, you know, a whole town is in the church. I used to lay in bed on a Friday night with the windows open because it's hot. And all you could hear in the village where I lived were meetings going on all night. When I say all night, I mean all night till 6 in the morning, where you would lie in bed and won't be woken up at 3 in the morning by the sound of singing in tongues coming through the bush. Isn't that amazing? You know, so we are living in absolutely amazing days. And Paul was going to, I mean, I won't ask you up now because of time, Paul, but, you know, this amazing 80-day so far revival taking place in Barnstable, 80 consecutive nights of the Holy Spirit coming down, being outpoured. We are living in amazing days. We really, really are. And you know, you hear people say, why not here? Those three words. And I was just contemplating on those. They can be said in different ways. They can be said, why not here, Lord? Why not here? You know, come down with your power here. We need a revival. You know, why not here? Or they could be said, why not here? What a difference, three words. So I hope in this room we're all saying the second way, why not here? Why not? There's no reason. Why not here? And, you know, this thought about revival, we can approach it in two ways, really. And we can sometimes, and myself included, we can approach it from a pauper mentality, where we're saying, oh, God, you've got to send revival, you know, and, oh, you know, really begging God. But we are royalty. Do you know that? We are princes and princesses in the kingdom of God. And we need to decide in our hearts, it's a decision we make here, that wherever we go, wherever I go, I'm going to carry revival. I'm going to carry the life of God around me. So I can stand here and do this with my finger around me and say, right, wherever I go, that's what I'm carrying. That's a decision that you can make. And we can access that life of heaven. That's what I want to get over to you, the first thing, that we can access that life of heaven and say, I don't care, I am going to live differently. I'm going to live with the life of heaven round about me. As a scripture in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's been done. Those spiritual blessings, he has blessed us with them. Whether we say they are mine is a different matter. But that we have been seated, the word says, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we have got access to amazing wealth, amazing riches, and we access that by faith. You know, revival is not something sort of out there to be obtained. And of course, you know, there is that element of God moving sovereignly in different lands and at different times in history. But what I want us to get hold of this morning is that we can live it. We can make that choice and say, okay, we may not with our natural eye see all the things that we'd really like to see here and now where we are, but I am going to live in revival. I'm going to live under that open heaven. I'm going to reach up by faith and say, all those spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus are mine. Are you with me on that? Do you agree? You know, we can choose not to. Now, a few months ago, I was at a meeting and I heard a different take on a little story in the book of Acts. You know, the story of Peter when he's in prison and an angel comes and takes him out of prison and leads him, and he goes to a house, and in that house, a group of his friends are praying, oh God, release Peter, please release Peter. You know, they're having one of these prayer meetings where they're really believing God to release Peter. So Peter comes, and he knocks on the door, and you know the story probably. A servant girl answers the door, and she recognizes him and she runs back in to where the people are praying, and they tell her, or she tells them rather, and the word of God says they were astonished and they said, oh, it must be his angel. And they'd been praying and praying, you know, Lord, get Peter out of prison. And then when he knocks on the door, oh, it can't be him, you know. The take on this is sometimes like that's the way we pray. And I heard this guy say sometimes revival is at the door and we're still standing inside crying out for God to send it. And I thought that is so good. You know, it's so good. You know, when you analyze moves of God, of course there's prayer involved. Of course prayer is important. But by faith, we can access something of that in the here and now, which I think is really exciting. Are you in agreement there? You know, there are places where God acts sovereignly, and that is so, so good. But we need to realize that there are spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus that we can access now in the here and now, which I think is absolutely amazing. But it's something we can choose to live in or not choose to live in, and say, Lord, I believe your word, and say, all those spiritual blessings are mine, and that's how I'm going to live. And that's the sort of person I want to be. That's the sort of church I want to be part of. And as we've heard in that first scripture, the prophets and the kings look forward to the day that we're living in. You know, Moses was a prophet. He was also a great leader. And he said he looked forward to the day when all God's people would prophesy. Because in this particular story, there was just, you know, the Holy Spirit came on the chosen few. And he said, you know, there's a future day when the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on all people. He saw that in the future. And Joel as well, in the book of Joel, he said that in the last days, the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. And in that, Even So Come, did you know that used to be my favorite song? Really, really did, Kevin Prosh. And it says in there, the days, and it doesn't just say in the song, it's in the book of Amos, quoted in the song. The days are coming when the plowman will overtake the reaper. And that's what Amos saw. Those are the days that we're living in, the days of harvest. Behold, the days are coming, as the Lord has promised, that song says, when the plowman will overtake the reaper. Kings and prophets look forward to the days that we are living in. You know, if you grab hold of nothing else, grab hold of that fact. We are living in those days. Okay, that is amazing. Now, Acts 2 speaks about the Holy Spirit coming on all people. If you've been a Christian any length of time, I think it was last Sunday, it was Pentecost Sunday, wasn't it? On which we remember the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the disciples. You remember Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem, and he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And that's just what the disciples did. And there were 120 of them, men and women, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. I don't think they really knew what they were waiting for, because it had never happened before. So I'm sure they were very surprised. But the Holy Spirit came on them, amazingly. And Peter, he stood up after that morning when the Holy Spirit fell on them, and he said, he quoted actually the book of Joel, and he said, these are the days that you're seeing when sons and daughters are going to prophesy, young men are going to see visions, and old men are going to dream dreams. And he recognized these were the days that Joel was speaking about. And that outpouring of the Spirit wasn't just a once and for all thing. It's meant to be an ongoing experience of every Christian right the way through the ages. It's meant to be our experience. And we see the wind coming in, and, you know, there's lots of metaphors for the Holy Spirit. There's the metaphor of rain, you know, the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. We sing rain down, don't we, you know? And then there's the wind of the Spirit can blow on us. Oil, anointing oil, is the dove. I mean, last week when I had this little word for Kerry, you know, I said the dove is resting on her shoulders. You know, the Holy Spirit is on her. And if you think of the day of Pentecost, what happened? They had tongues of fire, they spoke with new tongues, and they went out onto the streets. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, and people thought they were drunk. So another metaphor for the Holy Spirit is wine, new wine. And there's a lovely scripture in the Song of Solomon, and it says that his love is more delightful than wine. That's amazing, isn't it? So they were baptized with new wine. They were baptized with the love of God. And they were just so overcome with the love of God. They rolled out onto the streets like drunken people. How often do we roll out of meetings like drunken people? I've been in some, actually. I've been carried to my car once or twice. Not recently. Once I couldn't drive. But they were accused of being intoxicated. And that's what the Lord wants to do. If you think of revival, you know, it's an outpouring of the love of God. He wants to flood us with that. So we're totally, I just don't know. Have you been in that situation in your lives where you're so full of God, I can't take anymore. I don't know what to do with myself. I have occasionally. when you just don't know what to do. That is the Holy Spirit coming down, outpourings of love. I think that's an amazing definition of revival, an outpouring of the love of God. But Song of Solomon, his love is more delightful than wine. That's amazing, isn't it? And Jesus talks about wine. He talks about new wine and he talks about old wine. I'm just going to read you a scripture. You probably know exactly what I'm going to read you, but let me get it out. It's in Matthew chapter 9, verses 16 and 17. And this is what Jesus says. He says, "No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved." New wine into new wineskins. Jesus was talking about the new revelation of the new covenant that he was bringing. That's the context, the immediate context. There's always different contexts. The immediate context is that what he was saying, but it's a truth that we can look to as well. The truth is that God always wants to do something new. You were saying this, I'd like to have counted. I nearly did a tally chart in my head how many times you said that this morning, Paul. But, you know, God always wants to do something new. And the truth is that just as we get comfortable, because there is that something in each one of us, in the natural as well as the spiritual, but as soon as we start getting comfortable, the cloud moves. You know, the Israelites, they camped, then the cloud moved, and they camped again, and that went on and on and on. And, you know, that's like a biblical metaphor about the cloud moving on, but it does. The cloud moves on. Again, in the Old Testament, the Israelites were fed with manna, weren't they? Do you remember? They were in the wilderness, and the food came down, the little seedy white things came down, and they collected it. It was new every day, apart from the day before the Sabbath, when they had to collect it for 2 days. But if they thought, oh, I need to hoard this, you know, it went moldy. They had to collect it every single day, and then twice before the day for the Sabbath. But it was fresh every day. And, you know, revelation is fresh. Our life as Christians needs to have that cutting edge. It needs to have that freshness. I speak to myself as much as anybody else. You know, there's something new about God and what he does. I heard someone say, it was someone that doesn't matter who it was, but he came to one of our meetings over at the Windsor Hall, and he said, "I don't want to be past my sell-by date." And I thought, no, I don't either. You know, we need to make sure we're keeping a, you know, not over past our sell-by date. I thought that's a good expression, isn't it? Just after Christmas, I think it was almost on New Year's Day, actually, the Lord spoke to me as I was just reading through the Word of God, one of these random scriptures in a book that really, I can't say, thrills me. And it was Leviticus 26 and verse 10. And I felt this a real word to me. I just thought I'd throw it out. It said, "You will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out the way to make room for the new." That's not a Leviticus verse, is it? But it was. It's not the sort of verse that leaps out from Leviticus normally. But you will. I felt the Lord say, "Di, you're still going to be eating last year's harvest when you have to make it room for it. You have to move it out the way to make room for the new." So that's an amazing scripture, isn't it? Another scripture in Isaiah 43 and verse 18, it says this, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. It springs up. Don't you perceive it?" Now, if you've been a Christian any length of time, you might have heard that many, many, many times. I have, you know, like New Year's message, the person stands up, God's going to do a new thing this year, you know. And, you think, Lord, don't make me cynical, you know, but I believe, I'm not cynical, thank God. I really believe that God is in the God of the new, and we need to perceive the days in which we're living in, because he always does a new thing. Another amazing scripture on this whole line is 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. I love this because it says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. That is incredible, isn't it? Let me read that again. You know, naturally, we don't see things. It says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Now just ponder on that for a minute. Are our spiritual eyes open to what God is doing? Are our spiritual ears open to what God is doing? And if you're sitting there and to yourself, you're sort of saying, not really, I don't really see much. Can I suggest, and I do this and I say it to all of you, just when you're sitting before the Lord, just say, ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing in my life? What are you doing in the world? What are you doing in my family? What are you doing in my church? Just show me. And do you know he will do that? And you'll be amazed. He'll show you things. He really will. And it won't be things that will come from your mind. It will come first to your spirit. And then it will filter through. But someone has said, actually, that the Holy Spirit is the biggest search engine in the world, because he searches the deep things of God. You imagine? So by saying, Holy Spirit, what's going on? Show me. He's searching the deep things of God, and deep calls unto deep, and he'll reveal that to you. Try it. Have a little experiment. It will work. It really, really will. And, you know, don't be cynical, but say, Lord, I want to be part of the new in my life. And sometimes we can hear those words through filters of disappointment, filters of hurt, filters of fear, insecurity. So we need to recognize those things in our lives and just give those to God and ask him to speak, you know, despite all the stuff that's going on in our lives, to help us to hear what the Spirit is saying and not have those filters of, well, okay, I believed it once, but things have happened, you know, the filter of disappointment or the filter of fear of the unknown or of insecurity. All these are filters through which we can hear the words of the Lord. We can hear the Holy Spirit. So we need to recognize those and say, Lord, just help me to hear clearly what you're saying. Some of you know Jan Vickers, who's a friend of mine, but also on the central team. And last year, she was going through treatment for cancer. Some of you may know, some of you may not know that. And the Lord was really good to her, amazingly so, and spoke to her. And one day she came in to the because she works with me on the Big Year, and she stood there. She said, God's given me a scripture. I'm full of sap and very green. I thought, oh, right, okay. I thought that's brilliant. And that's actually a little paraphrase from Psalm 9, well, it might be a different version, Psalm 92, 12 to 15. It says this, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. So no matter how old or young you are, you know, we need to be full of sap and very green. And there's nothing worse than being a crackly old branch, is there? I don't want to be an old crackly branch, because what happens when the wind blows to crackly old branches? They break off, don't they? But what happens to a branch, whoops, that's full of sap and very green, and the wind blows. It's able to bend with the wind, isn't it? So that's just a lovely scripture. I thought, I want to bend with the wind. I don't want to be a crackly old branch broken off. I want to be full of sap and very green. All right, that's nothing to do with ecology or environmentally friendly either. I don't, not in this context. So anyway, back to the new wine. That scripture I read about the wine and wineskins. In biblical times, there was, what they did is they put the unfermented grape juice in wineskins. In goat skins, rather, new goat skins, so that the wine and the goat skins would grow old together, if you like, you know, and the wine would ferment and expand. And because the wine skins were new, they were able to expand with the wine. They would stretch. But if they used a wine skin that was already expanded and older and poured new wine into that, that's what Jesus was trying to allude to in that scripture, the wine skin would crack and break and the new wine would flood out. And so he's saying here that new wine needs to be in new wine skins. Now, the old wine, you're saying, well, I like old wine. It's supposed to be the best, isn't it? I'm not really a wine connoisseur. If people say to me something like, oh, this wine is so good, it's really old, best vintage, cost me a lot of money, I'm thinking, I won't like this. It just shows you my wine palate is not very refined. You know, give me a good Cote de Rhone and I'm happy. But some people are wine connoisseurs, aren't they? They love the old wine. You know, and the wine, the old wine has aged with the wineskin. And, you know, the past is okay. I'm not saying, oh, don't do that. You know, forget everything. Everything's new. We do have to take into consideration what God has done in the past. And in fact, you know, that's part of what I do, is write revival history books. Just about to write a new one, by the way. I've got a publisher, which is really good. Yes. So the point being, you know, the past is good, but we take that with us on our journey. And we carry history with us, but we don't live there. Okay? We carry our history. We've all got history, whether we're Christians 2 minutes or, you know, 30 years, 40 years. You know, we need to honour what God has done, but we don't live there. We move on. And God wants us to embrace the new daily in our lives and corporately as well. The moves of God come in fresh ways. I can't... Okay, right. I was late on, so I've got 5 more minutes. Is that all right? Okay. The moves of God come in fresh ways. And there is a fact in history that a fresh move of God is, when I use these terms, you know, generally, often is persecuted by the former move of God. Welsh Revival, 1904. Pentecostal Revival, 1906. People who were at the forefront of the amazing Welsh Revival, a lot of them persecuted and wrote absolutely vitriolic stuff about the Pentecostal Revival, one of them calling it the last vomit of Satan. You know, it's not good. So we have to make sure that we are listening to God and seeing, you know, what God does in the new and embracing that. And not being like the crackly old branch. Now, the only way that you could use an old skin was to rub it with oil and to make it not to make it supple again. And the oil of the Holy Spirit keeps us flexible. He really does. Nothing to do with age. It's all to do with that attitude. But I don't know about you, but I want to make sure I'm drinking the new wine of the Holy Spirit. You know, I want to be a container that holds the new wine. Okay, yesterday was good, but God is a God of the new. I listened the other week to Kelly Brannan. I was actually in Nepal when she came to speak here. And I listened as I was having my lunch one day. I thought, what an amazing young woman. I thought, that is so good. She is just full of the new wine. And I just thought, yes. And I respect what she had to say. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. And we need to hear more of that newness coming to us. So that's really what I wanted to say this morning. And I'm going to finish by asking Paul to come up here, because I think in our hearts we need a response to what we've heard me talk about this morning. And I want Paul just to play a song, and I want to invite the Holy Spirit just to come. The Holy Spirit has been here this morning. He was here as we worshipped. But as Paul plays, I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come, and I want us in our hearts to respond to what I've said this morning. And I want that response not to be an outward vocal response in one sense, but I want a response to be a big yes to what God is doing. A big yes to what God is doing. And if you want to raise your arms and say, yes, Lord, I want everything that you're doing. I want to live in revival now. I want to be part of the new things that you're doing day by day. Then just stand up and raise your arms to heaven as we sing. Amen.